It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. And today we are pro wrestling Don Taku from Fukuoka in Japan. Jushin Liger's last pro wrestling Don Taku in his hometown. One of the big events of the year. Not quite as big as Dominion. Definitely not big as Wrestle Kingdom. But certainly one of the big events that New Japan like to keep boiling over with title changes and big matches. And that's what this weekend is about. And to join me to dissect this momentous occasion, Mr. Alex Watt. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Hello. It's been
a while.
Months, I feel like. when was the last time I was on?
Wrestle Kingdom, I think.
Bloody hell. Yeah, okay.
We've had like two new presenters since then.
Yeah, it's been... I've been in the group chatting, but yeah, I've not been on the podcast for a while. It's been a bit mad with doing the other podcast, watching football every waking hour, it feels like, at this point. I've actually been fairly out of the loop on wrestling since Mania weekend, I have to admit. So
Being happy that Liverpool beat Barcelona 4-0.
Very happy, yes. Yeah. Very happy. I don't think I've slept properly since then, to be honest.
I'm just pointing that out to make people understand I don't live in just like the wrestling created vacuum. I do other things, like turn the telly on.
You understand other sports. But yeah, I've been fully in on football and yeah, life and other podcasts and stuff. So, but yeah, it was very nice to dip back into New Japan because I feel since the New York show, probably I haven't really watched a lot, to be honest. So it was nice to be back in that world again.
Yeah. Okay then. Well, let us welcome you back into the first night of Fukuoka, I should say. And there was a six-man tag. Ren Narita, Shota Umino, and Tomoyaki Honma. They defeated Toa Henare, Yotasuji, and Yuya Uemura. There's kind of levels within the dojo. Umino and Narita are kind of like the old hands now. They're like the boss is of the dojo. They're the ones the others look up to. And they certainly showed it like this. Ren Narita's belly-to-belly suplex finisher is still outstanding, and Shota Umino is showing an awful lot of class as a young boy. Tomoyaki Honma's looking pretty tasty as well. Wants to show that never open weight championship. Toa Henare. Honma doesn't look as concussed as he used to, which is all we can say about that, really.
Yes, which is good. I feel like last time I was on, we were talking about how Honma hasn't been looking good. So yeah, it's good that he's starting to look a bit more. I'm not sure he's ever going to get back to his old self, but at least he's looking more that way.
Probably should stop dropping Kokeshi headbutts would be helpful. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, the most just strong style Japan thing ever. Like, you've come back from a concussion. Best just not change your style in any way. Keep, you know, keep jumping on your own head. That seems like a good idea. The Young Lions thing is really interesting. Like you say, the fact that there's, like, levels amongst them now. They must be due their excursion fairly soon, you would think.
Yeah, you'd think so, really. Ren Narita's been talking about he needs to work really hard for June, so I guess there's something maybe coming up for him in June. Maybe he's going to get his exclusion then.
Maybe it's going to be after Dominion or something like that, because that sort of wraps up the first half of New Japan's year, doesn't it? And then they kind of change
things
direction and momentum for the second half of the year, so maybe that's the thinking.
I think possibly as well. I mean, Narita and Umino are clearly the two best rookies they've had in a decade. I don't think they're really going to let them go.
Absolutely.
You know, so we'll see what happens. But yes, they were outstanding. Next match, 8-man tag, Suzuki Gun, Elder Esperado, Minoru Suzuki, Takemichi Noko, and Yoshinobu Kanemura defeated Jushin Thunder Liger, Raisuke Taguchi, Tiger Mask, and Yoshihashi in a fun, silliness bout, as much silly as it can get when it's involving Suzuki Gun. But starting a feud between Minoru Suzuki and Jushin Thunder Liger there. The old hands having a bit of a crack at one another, which I find to be very interesting because Jushin Thunder Liger has not named his opponent for his retirement match at Wrestle Kingdom. Anyway, your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, more than them setting up like a feud between the two. It seems like Minoru Suzuki just wants to ruin Jushin Thunder Liger's retirement tour. That seems to be his thing.
He's
just
going to
batter him. Yeah, he's just going to batter him for the entire time until he finally gives it up. Classic Minoru Suzuki, really, isn't it? I don't think that they'll put Suzuki and Liger together for the retirement match at Wrestle Kingdom, but you never know. I think our thought was more that it would be a junior guy who would wrestle Liger, either one of his like classic opponents who's still going, or you know, a younger guy that he can put over as like the next big thing or something like that.
Taka Michinoku, we're taking the win in this, trying to give him some shine towards going back into Best of Super Juniors this year. I was recording a beginner's guide match earlier today with John Dinsdale from Steel Chair Magazine, beginner's guide to Japan, and we was watching him on an old FMW show in 1996 when he was FMW World Independent Junior Heavyweight Champion, wrestling Ricky Fuji.
It's crazy how well he can still go in the ring.
Doesn't
as well,
look he, any difference.
Yeah, he literally doesn't either. Yeah, his hair's a little bit taller. That's about it.
That's about it. Yes. Anyway, but yeah, fun matchup. Not an awful lot else you can say about this. It did what it said on the tin. Really, it was all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on then. 6-man tag: Toru Yano and Togi Makabe, most violent players. Tag with Will Ospreay. You mean another Hentai Chaos crossover. By the way, Wong Owakeen, I think I'm not sure if it was this match, the last one, with Yoshihashi wearing a scrimmage helmet, did not look good look for him. Just not good.
No.
No. I think it was the next night. That night, the scrimmage helmet ended up going on Kevin Kelly's head because Minoru Suzuki wished it so. But anyway, back to this one.
Yeah. Yoshihashi just manages to make his look worse and worse somehow. I didn't think it was possible.
I was having a big conversation this week with a couple of people about like Yoshihashi's hair, and as I pointed out, until he sorts his barnet out, he's never going to go anywhere. But there you go. Anyway.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, that seems to be jumping ahead what Sanada did. Sorted out his own barnet and beard for his move to the main event, hopefully. Yeah, so it definitely is a thing that has to happen.
Indeed it is. So definitely has to happen. Anyway, chorus. Yeah, that's the new faction.
Chorus of a tag match.
Chaos, Toru Yano, Will Ospreay, which, as we know, is most violent players with Togi Makabe and Toru Yano. They defeated Bullet Club and Hikuleo, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa. Toru Yano stole one in 7 minutes and 25 seconds. A lot of fun, this match. I'd also like to point out, I'd really like to see a singles match between Tama Tonga and Will Ospreay, because I think that would be fun.
I agree, actually. I think that would be really interesting. We'll talk about Will Ospreay's direction in a bit, I imagine, of where he's going to sit in New Japan going forward, because I'm a bit confused by the whole thing right now, but we'll come on to that. But was it Bullet Club's anniversary as well?
It's six with the
like
sixth
that?
Anniversary of Bullet Club, and they lost every match.
That is so New Japan booking.
Yeah, it was like last year was the fifth anniversary, and they ended up wrestling each other because it was Elite versus old OGs with Kota Ibushi.
Of course, yeah.
So it was. I think it was last year's was Kenny, Chase, and G.O.D. versus the Bucks and Cody, or something along those lines, and somebody else. Bucks, Cody and Hangman versus Chase, Okota, Kenny and G.O.D. I think. So yeah, that was the semi-main event last year. But they all like
they don't have happy birthdays, do they? Basically.
No. So yeah, and they all too sweeted it out to finish things off. But this year they all lost everything. but it wasn't the focus on them this year, so yeah. But it was a good match, and it showed off some interesting stuff. And specifically, I would really like to see Will Ospreay versus Tama Tonga, because I think that'd be really cool. And I'm hoping that Will Ospreay gets to enter every tournament this year and be in the G1 as well. Not because I want Will in the G1. I would think that would cement him as a heavyweight if that's what they want to do with him, because he had that run with the Open Weight Championship. But yeah, I'm like you. I suppose we should let's talk about it now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they can. I'm not sure they can justify him being a heavyweight all the time, because I think they need him. But okay. equally, I saw you what happened with Kushida, and he left. So
right,
if he wants to be a heavyweight,
so
let him be a heavyweight.
He's going to bounce between the divisions to keep the best of both worlds then.
I think so. I think that's a possibility. But let's be honest, he's heavier than Zack Sabre Jr., who's a heavyweight.
This is the thing. So whenever you... I think I spoke about it when they did the show over in the UK in association with RevPro,
yeah.
That I was there live for, and I said he was wrestling Tai Chi. He's about 5 inches taller than Tai Chi,
who's taller,
but had to take the pin because at the time he was the junior heavyweight against the heavyweight, and it's a strange scenario. And obviously, what I was alluding to with the confusion is that it seemed like from the never open weight run, you know, the match he had with Ibushi and everything like that at Wrestle Kingdom, they were setting him up to make the jump to heavyweight. Then he loses the belt and just goes straight back to junior heavyweight for the super juniors. So it's a bit, it's a bit confusing, his spot at the moment. But if it is that they just want to bounce in between the two, because he is a draw for the junior heavyweight division, so that's probably their thinking. But it's a strange one for New Japan. You normally work one or the other. You know, if you go up, you've advanced to heavyweight, essentially, and that's that.
Yeah, I mean, he beat Jeff Cobb as well. You know, he has beat some heavy hitters as a heavyweight, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
You know, he loses. We'll talk about what happened the following night later, but I think, that'd be interesting. We'll talk about that then. We'll stop this conversation there and move on, but that's something that we need to discuss at the time. Rabingi 3K and Kota Ibushi defeated Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Shingo, Takagi and Tetsuya Naito in 11 minutes and 31 seconds of a thoroughly enjoyable match. These six can wrestle each other all day, all night and all year long, and I'd be well happy.
Yes, from what I've read, the Chaos and LIJ basically carried this entire tour with just insane tag matches pretty much every show.
Yeah, because it was not about Bullet Club, this one, so they kind of like put them off the boil. They weren't about Suzuki Gun, so they were off the boil. So LIJ and Chaos picked up the slack because it was all about those two factions, and they had stunning, stunning matches. But Kota Ibushi and Tetsuya Naito, I don't think you can find a better dream match than them two at the moment. You know, you go back to Madison Square Garden, the fans were just chanting holy shit before they got their ring jackets off. Because they couldn't believe that match was actually happening. That, for a lot of people, that was the true main event of that particular show.
Yeah, well, they're the kind of two guys made to wrestle each other, basically because they're both nutters for a start, but the stuff they do in the ring as heavyweights, essentially, is insane. Yeah, they've got great chemistry. We've seen them have matches, you know, the G1 and stuff like that, and they always, always deliver. And this was, obviously, it was the same tag both nights, and it was very much to set up this title rematch at Dominion between the two. It pretty much did that job very well. I think everyone is, if they weren't already hyped for that rematch, they are even more hyped now. And I guess the other talking point is Shingo. Is he the favourite going into the Super Juniors on the back of this?
I'm not so sure. I mean, they keep pushing Sho and Shingo, but they've done this many times before in tournaments, and we've just gone like, yeah, but it'll be somebody else because they've pushed this on us.
Mm.
So I'm in one of those moods. I don't think it's going to be Shingo and Sho in the final. I think that'll be like, it'll be the one dangled for us, and we'll not get it.
Okay.
I have no idea what happens in the Best of Super Juniors, I'll be honest. Each year I look at it and it's like, could be anybody.
It's probably the hardest one to call in a long time, actually. There's no clear, you know, we'll come on to the junior heavyweight title scene, I suppose. But yeah, there's no clear guy who you see being the obvious winner this year, which makes it more fun in many ways, you know.
Yeah, we've got Best of Super Juniors lineup. We can have a talk about that as well at the end. Let's move on to the next matchup, which was Chaos, Hirooki Goto, and Mad Mikey Nicholls with Juice Robinson They defeated Bullet Club, Bad Luck Farley, Chase Owens and Jay White, 11 minutes and 23 seconds. It was pretty damn good and entertaining, as you kind of think. Didn't really say a lot for anybody or move anyone or anyone else. It was just good.
Yeah, I agree. Like, pretty much, yes, your standard good New Japan tag match, basically. I think the LIJ Chaos ones were beyond that, basically. They were really, really great, of them going full throttle. This one was more like your standard solid tag match, which, yeah, is pretty much just to, I don't want to say kill time, but they've got their position on the card. They're, you know, Juice is the champ, the US champ, and they're very much setting him up, keeping him looking strong for whoever this next challenger might be, which we should probably talk about as well.
Who do you think the next challenger is going to be, Alex?
Chris Brooks, I'm guessing. It looks like from the video, it looks like it's going to be Chris Brooks, but I'm not entirely sure just yet. But that would make the most sense from all the clues and the fact that he obviously is a big guy in Rev Pro, and yeah, with the relationship, and also he'd slot right in to New Japan because of the way he works.
The Calamari Catch King is coming to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
I mean, well, it does make sense. There's Gresham as well. He and Gresham work really, really well as a tag team, as CCK, the original CCK. He really has. Chris Brooks has done everything on the UK scene. He turned down a WWE contract because he wanted to continue to grow. And, he's running Tuesday Night Graps in Manchester now. He's taken up the slack in Attack Wrestling, with a lot of the WWE contracted wrestlers not being able to do as much booking as they used to do, people like Mark Andrews and so on. So he's kind of like a bit of a patriarchal figure within British wrestling at the minute. He's kind of done everything he can do, and he's been putting in stunning performances at Rev Pro. So it doesn't surprise me, especially the other people we have to talk about on this weekend show, that he's ended up in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he got his foot in the water with DDT that we talked about early in the year as well.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those that if this isn't him, I think we will see him in New Japan soon one way or another because of, everything you've said. And I think New Japan's schedule, they can work it around their other commitments, which is obviously going to be appealing to someone like Chris, who's got, a big foot, like you say, in the UK scene, but he'll still be able to keep that up alongside doing the New Japan stuff, you would imagine.
Keeping the irons in the fire.
Exactly, yeah.
Right then, next matchup. Speaking of corkers, the way they laid it all on the line, Evil and Sanada defeated Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii in 16 minutes and 52 seconds as a precursor to their singles match of the following evening. This was outstanding. This was just what you imagine two singles matches to be like, condensed into 16 minutes. This worked really, really well. And I can't say enough about this tag match. What's your thoughts on it, Alex? I nearly called you Marcus then.
Yeah. That's how long it's been since I've been on the podcast. But yeah, like you said, like it was essentially a preview tag for the two big single matches the next night. And in that sense, it was so much better than I expected it to be, because I know they're all fantastic, but they didn't hold anything back. Like, this was an unbelievable tag match, like a full throttle main event style tag team match. Even though the bigger matches for them were the following evening, you think they would have they would have maybe toned it down a little bit, but I don't think that's in these four guys' wheelhouse so much. And yeah, the Evil and Ishii interactions especially made me so hyped to see their singles match the next night, because Okada and Sanada, we know how well they work together. They've done it a bunch of times. They have great chemistry. Ishii and Evil was just, they just started beating the crap out of each other in this tag match and very much continued that into the singles match the next night. And it was great. Loved the finish as well with the referee stoppage after LIJ trapped them both in submissions. I thought that was a really good piece of booking to make. You know, obviously, they Ishii didn't submit because it's Tomohiro Ishii. He's not going to submit to Choshu's hold, but it made Evil and Sanada look dominant going into their challenges the next night, essentially, as well as protecting Ishii and Okada. And of course, the last appearance of Sanada's crazy beard. Rest in peace.
Well, you know, it kind of came under control by the following evening. Right then, next match was for the NEVER Openweight title, and Tai Chi.
I was looking forward to this. The talk, not so much the match itself.
Beat Jeff Cobb for the NEVER Openweight Championship in a period of time. I don't care. Alex, your thoughts?
I don't think it was that bad, by the way. I thought this was
actually... Oh, no. All
right.
It was not awful. It wasn't good. And he tried out. But he just... It's Tai Chi. I'm just never going to like him. Sure that I don't hate him or anything. I just don't like him. It's just the way it is. It's something we're going to have to live with. It's not like
clearly.
I despise his living guts like three or four wrestlers I could mention. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's a nice enough guy. Just don't like watching him wrestle.
I think he has improved.
Oh, yeah. He has improved. Still don't like him.
That's very... I thought this was all right, actually. You know, it was... I wouldn't have gone with it as the match for the co-main. You know, slotted between that tag match and an insane main event, which we'll talk about in a second. And I feel like probably the co-main on the next show, the Ishii Evil match, is probably the match fans would want and expect to be the NEVER title match. You know,
yes. That
hard-hitting, strong style. Even though that's not necessarily what the NEVER belt was designed for in the first place, it's what it's come to represent. So, yeah, it is odd seeing Tai Chi compete for that title, but I think that's kind of the point, isn't it? It's meant to wind us up. Like, that is clearly his character. That is what the booking is doing. It's meant to annoy us.
Yeah. I know there's people out there who really love Tai Chi. John Dinsdale, I was just talking to from Steel Chair Magazine. He said, I really like Tai Chi. And I went, well, I don't. And, you know, there are other people...
He's very good at playing the heel. Like, he is very good at winding people up with his antics and stuff. It's more, how good is he in the ring is the question when you're in, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
He has, like, had to book his ideas up that he can't get away with stuff for that long, which he did for the first 10 years of his career, and he now actually has to try. But yeah, just that still does not appeal to me in any way, shape, or form.
But I thought this was probably one of his better matches because it had a strong story. You know, the interference played into the story, but it didn't take away from it. Sometimes, you know, the Suzuki gun antics in Tai Chi matches can. I know he obviously cheated in the end to win, but it kind of made more sense with the low blow and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought it was better anyway. I mean, Jeff Cobb was great, by the way. I'm so psyched to see Jeff Cobb get this shot and move up the card in New Japan. He's basically taken the place of that guy who's left, who we don't like to speak about, and are very glad that he's left.
Sorry.
And yeah, who could I be referring to? I much prefer Jeff Cobb in that spot of the big burly, you know, Gaijin, basically, who suplexes people around. But yeah, he's taken the opportunity, he's grabbed it with both hands. Obviously, the New York show where he won the belt and now here. I think the gutting part is him dropping the belt, to be honest, because I think it's a title reign with him had a lot of legs. Mm. And also with the fact that they're jumping ahead, but obviously they're doing Tai Chi Ishii. I would have much preferred to have seen Cobb versus Ishii because I think that would have been quite the match. but I'm sure they're saving that one for a later date.
Let's face it, Tai Chi isn't winning it twice. So, I think he drops it to Ishii so we can have some more interesting matches. I think Tai Chi is going to be like one of those perennial champions like Nakamura. He's just going to be shit at it and just like drop it after each defense. That's my plan.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I reckon.
I could deal with that. Listen, if Ishii wins the belt and we get Cobb challenging him on the back of that, sign me up, because that is going to be great. Oh, the gut wrench sequence into the pile driver, by the way, got to mention that. That was insane. That was so good.
Right then. Two wrestlers who could arguably said be the best junior heavyweights in the world. Taiji Ishimori loses his one crack back at the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship to Dragon Lee. This was actually really, really good. Really, really, really good. 4.5 stars from your Meltzer there, 8.58 from your Cage Match users, which will tell you how good it actually was. This outshone everything, as a main event should, on this particular card. Nice to see Dragon Lee as the champion. I think he's going to be a fighting champion, and he's going to be one of the hot favourites going into Best of Super Juniors, because no champ has won that tournament whilst being champion, so that would be interesting to see if he could do it. Taiji Ishimori has kind of got himself out of the title picture, so it'll be interesting to see how his Best of Super Juniors goes, which, of course, he was a finalist in last year. But, yeah, absolutely breathtaking match. What are your thoughts on this one, Alex?
Yes, well, you got me thinking on the Super Juniors thing, so I'll try and remember to say that after I've spoke about the match. Yeah, this was incredible, as we probably expected it to be. They got the chance to main event, and they very much made the most of it. We know how good these two are, and I think this might have been the best junior heavyweight match since Hiromu versus Ishimori in the junior finals last year. I'm struggling to think of one that has been better than this since then.
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, I thought it was great. They actually threw in a couple of callbacks to that match as well, like, you know, the forearms while they're on their knees, which signaled the match was about to kick into an even higher gear. Yeah, stuff like the back and forth sequence with the suplexes into the Destroyer, into the Falcon Arrow, that was nuts. Ishimori countering the, I'm going to try and pronounce his finisher, the Desnakadora. Is that right?
That seems right, yes.
But yeah, countering that into the Hurricane Rana, they had the extended drama on the crossface where you thought Ishimori was going to pull it off. There was, yeah, it told such a great story. I think they kept you guessing, basically. I really believed that Ishimori was about to take the belt back, but instead they solidified Dragon Lee as the champ. He pinned the former champ, who obviously didn't pin when he won the belt at the G1 Supercard. Yeah, it just really lived up to the hype, this one. Also, nice touch with Dragon Lee wearing the Kamitachi mask on his entrance as a shout-out to Hiromu. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really good. And they're obviously set. Dragon Lee as champ, I think. Hiromu must be close to coming back. And this is why you've got me thinking with your what you said in the Super Juniors. Is Dragon Lee going to win it, the whole thing? And then that's when Hiromu comes back to challenge him at Dominion. Because I was originally thinking, you know, Dragon Lee will face whoever wins the Super Juniors at Dominion, and then Hiromu will come back. But yeah, you've got me thinking now with that, that it might be, yeah, on the Super Juniors final when Hiromu makes his return.
Yeah. Where were we? Yes. It should be awesome, though. But yeah, absolutely outstanding matchup. Well recommended. Right then.
Where do you think Ishimori goes from here, just before we move on? Because I think we were... When we spoke last time, whether it was Wrestle Kingdom or the show after, I can't remember, but it felt like they were setting him up for a long reign where he was going to be the guy until Hiromu came back. And obviously now... He's not. They've gone with Dragon Lee instead, to probably to set up the rematch with Hiromu because of all the story there. Is he? Yeah, I feel like he's in a interesting spot now, having not won the belt back.
I'm wondering if he drops down to the junior heavyweight tag division with Robbie Eagles there, and they have a crack at the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships.
Because there's also Phantasmo as well now, isn't there?
Yes, so I was trying to leave that as a surprise till his match, but
Sorry.
I had things laid out. I was going to say it.
I'm hoping everyone's seen these shows.
Yeah, I was trying to like put a bit of suspense into this podcast here, Alex. I'm putting some production.
And then here comes Alex after months off, just ruining the flow of the show.
It is great to have you back. Don't worry. I'm not coming.
Yes,
kidding.
Thanks.
Anywho, we'll talk about that in a second. Well, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's my point, I think, is if he goes down to junior tag league or tag level, then it gives El Fantasmo the guy to be the Bullet Club junior heavyweight ace and give him time to tell a story.
Right, yeah, that makes sense, actually. Okay. Like, they've always got a plan. I know that. I was just trying to think where it could be going. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Okay, then we move on to night two of Pro Wrestling Dontaku. Ren Narita and Shota Umino defeated Yota Tsuji and Yui Uemura in 7:36.7. Right, good matchup, this. Good wrestling. Just really, really good wrestling. Shota Umino and Ren Narita are so good. So good. They're going to be awesome.
Truth.
Very true. Right, next match after that, unless you've got anything to add to that?
No, I mean, yeah, extending the rivalries, it was just a really good tag opener, to be honest. Started the show really, really well. Probably, like, beyond what you would expect from these kind of tag openers, you know, on these shows. Like, it was kind of a step beyond what they would normally be, it felt like.
Right. Next match after that was Suzuki-Gun, El Desperado, Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, Taka Michinoku, and Yoshinobu Kanemura. They defeated Jeff Cobb, Raisuke Taguchi, Tiger Mask, Toa Henry, and Yoshihashi in 11:16. Bit of a barn burner, this. It was all right.
It was a bit
more than it should have been for a 10-man tag, actually. Told a lot of story in this, and I enjoyed it. It's kind of usual, jump them and go, but it was a bit of comedy, bit of drama. It was fun.
Yeah, it feels like there was a theme with like the tags over delivering, because yeah, this was better than it probably had any right to be, given it's a 10-man on the second match of the show. Suzuki got not jumping the other team before the match as well, which must be the first time that has ever happened in the history of Suzuki Gun.
Going calm down in their old age, I think.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be a good match then. Like, it's a different thing.
Yeah, no, it was good. Really good. And just enjoyable. Much the same for the next match. Six-man tag, Jushin Thunder Liger, Togi Makabe, Tori Yano. They defeated Gorillas of Destiny with Gedo. Sorry, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Gedo. I thought it was Jado, not Gedo. I think
it is Jado, yeah.
It was Jado. 7:40. Jado managing to be in a match and do three things. Two of them were fall over.
Yeah, and the other one was wearing a funny t-shirt.
Yeah. 30 years in this business. Yeah, there you go. They were very good. It was just funny. It was all right. It was, they were going to lose because they had the old man with them. But yeah, it was good. A lot of fun, this one.
Yeah, Jado does not move well.
Jado hasn't moved well for about 3 years, and I think it's been a cruel in-joke because he won the Battle Royal at Wrestle Kingdom 2 years ago, despite the fact
he was
pretty immobile.
Like, when we're talking about how badly Onma's been moving, I mean, Jado has taken it to another level, let's be honest.
He's basically negative movement now.
He has no business being in there, really. But yeah, the shirt was very funny. It was an obvious like dig at Liger retiring and stuff like that, you know, 30 years in the business, you know, so what, I don't care, I think it said on the front or something like that. Yeah, I mean, Liger does move a little bit better than Jado, it's safe to say. So that's probably the difference there.
Right then. Yeah, pretty much. But it was still a fun match. And still...
Oh, no, it was. It was, yeah.
Yeah, still like working through the titles as well. Right then. Next matchup, Bullet Club. El Fantasmo and Taiji Ishimori making his debut, El Fantasmo. Filth Merchant from Riptide Wrestling. That's a joke out there to make everybody laugh who follows the Riptide Wrestling Twitter feed. Do you know about this?
No, go on.
Noted famous British wrestling photographer James Musselwhite took a picture of El Fantasmo, which was a bit pubic, shall we say.
Oh, right, okay.
And Riptide have been portrayers of filth ever since in the wrestling fans' mind. Riptide are not particularly happy about this. they do not wish to be seen as purveyors of filth, but there you go. These things happen.
That is wrestling for you.
Side note for you there. And anything else I can wind them up with. So Phantasmo and Taiji Ishimori. Yeah, Phantasmo, if you're going to make a debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling, do it like he did, because that was outstanding. Yes. You know, Dragon Lee and Will Ospreay were there along for the ride. There was no need for them two to actually be there. This was the El Phantasmo show. Taiji Ishimori, yeah, a little bit, but it was about these two, and that's how it went, and it was really good.
Yeah, if one of the most impressive New Japan debuts I've seen in some time. Like, the worst kept secret probably in wrestling for the last few months that it was going to be El Phantasmo coming to New Japan. And yeah, obviously, like, it helped he was in there with Ospreay and Dragon Lee, because they could work with him, you know, so fluidly and make all this stuff look amazing. RevPro fans know how great this guy is. They've been watching him for a long time now. So it was great to see him make an immediate impact in Japan. I'm sure he'll have a lot of great matches in the Super Juniors. And yeah, like you said, it was the El Phantasmo show, which it should have been. You know, he had to go out there for 10 minutes and show a crowd who'd never seen him before, the majority of them. You could tell from the beginning, you know, there wasn't much of a reaction. But by the end, they were popping for him big, you know, because he is so impressive.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. It's a 10-minute match for him to show off some of the crazy stuff he can do in the ring. And yeah, it did exactly what it needed to. And the fact he pinned Ospreay on his first night in the company too is obviously a huge deal, and the right call as well to make him look like a star on his first night and set him up nicely for the Super Juniors. Yeah, really, really good piece of business, as they say.
Definitely. As was the next matchup, Los Ignorables de Habon, Bushi, Shingo, Takagi and Tetsuya Naito defeat Keeb, Kota Ibushi and Rapingi 3K in another follow-up match that was just insane. Just really, yes, really good. Just, they hang this
probably
together. Go on.
I was going to say probably even slightly better than the one they had the previous night.
Yeah, they kind of like ironed out the problems.
Yeah.
Not that there were many problems to iron out from the first one, but told a slightly different story and slightly different results. 13 minutes and 47 seconds. It just clicks. It just, Naito and Ibushi are perfect for each other. LIJ and Rapingi 3K are perfect for one another. It all just works.
Yeah. Exactly. It was great. What more can you say? I mean, yeah, obviously this one, Naito got the win at the end with the Destino to officially set up the match against Ibushi. We knew it was going to happen at Dominion pretty much, but this officially set it up. And yeah, it's just fantastic. The moment that stood out being the modified Gloria into essentially a powerbomb,
yes,
which I've never seen Naito do before and was absolutely insane.
Yeah, he's doing things just differently now. He's going to another level. Clearly,
yeah,
he wants to make this feud his life.
Those two is going
to
be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That match is going to be. Oh, yeah. It's going to be something.
Well, hopefully they don't die, but yes, it's going to be something else. Right then, your semi-main event, Tomohiro Ishii defeats...
Just before we jump ahead, we should talk Tanahashi's return, should we not?
Actually, I didn't see it because I clicked off the end of this to get everything watched in time.
Ah, okay. Well, I'll very, very quickly came back. He's obviously just had elbow surgery, I believe. So he explained to the fans where he'd been. Confronted by Jay White and attacked, obviously, because Jay White's a dickhead. So obviously, basically setting up a number one contenders match, it looks like, at Dominion between those two. He had, Jay White, no respect, came out, says, you know, he's the next one in line for the title. Tanahashi's at the back of the line, behind even Goto, he said, which seemed like an unnecessary dig at Goto. Christy won't have liked that one. But yeah, it was just Jay White being an ass again, basically. He attacked Tanahashi's elbow the day after it was taken out of the cast. Yeah, so just setting up a big match between those two. You would assume a Dominion. I don't think it's been confirmed just yet, but yeah, you would imagine that's where it'll take place. Yeah, I thought it was important to throw in because I was a little bit concerned Jay White might lose a bit of momentum after losing the belt to Okada, but yeah, this kind of got him back on track, got his heat back. He's still, you know, one of the top heels in the company. So, yeah, he looks like he'll be fine with this direction for the next few months.
He's going to be good. Right then, let's get on to the semi-final of the particular the semi-final Pro Wrestling Dontaku. Tomohiro Ishii defeats Evil, 23 minutes and 8 seconds, 4.5 stars from Meltzer, 8.5 from the Cage Match users. I've got to say, this was my match of the night. This was absolutely fantastic.
Agreed.
Exactly what you want from both these guys. It was phenomenal. Like, the hard-hitting, the storytelling, the pace they were going at, the fact they could go full bore for 23 minutes with this kind of effort is just outstanding. And I love both of these guys and love watching them wrestle. And this is exactly what was needed on this particular part of the weekend. What are your thoughts on this one, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they had that slow feeling out process at the beginning. I'm kidding. They obviously just started beating the crap out of each other from the beginning. It was what we hoped it would be, you know, the strong style back and forth match. But I thought, I agree with you, it was match of the night. I thought it was tremendous. We know how good they both are in the ring. We know Ishii's been basically the New Japan MVP for years and years, and Evil has just improved so much over the last couple of years to be at that level. And on top of it being, you know, them battering each other, basically, it also told a great story. Ishii very much working as like almost the underdog for a lot of it, because Evil kept working over his knee, kept working over his lower back, so Ishii had to fight through that. Evil kept going for the Scorpion Deathlock, of course, which I thought was I thought that was a really clever thing that they threw into the story between these two. The fact that obviously Riki Choshu, who's Ishii's mentor, invented the move. Evil kept going back to it as kind of, you know, a dig at Ishii, basically. And it's extra poignant because Choshu's retirement show was coming up too. So it meant that when Ishii applied it on Evil near the end of the match, the reaction it got was massive, which, yeah, is just great storytelling. Other than that, it was, like you touched on, it was like 23 minutes, did you say? And they did that like lariat exchange, and then it was announced there was the 20 minute mark, and I was shocked because it was only then I realized how long the match had actually been going for. It just felt like it zipped by, you know. It was great. Just brilliantly put together, everything we would have wanted it to be, really. And then Ishii pulling off the win, but Evil losing nothing in defeat looked brilliant. Great all round. And then obviously Tai Chi coming out after the match to claim that Ishii wanted to challenge him was how it seemed to go. Ishii was just confused, but eventually just accepted it, because, like, if you want me to beat me up, I get, you know, if you want me to beat you up, I guess we can do that. That's fine.
Bit strange, but there you go. Yes, indeed.
I'm not sure it's the match I would have gone with for Dominion, as we kind of touched on. I think, yeah, I would have preferred to see Cobb and Ishii, but there we are.
You also
hopefully
don't know
we see that down the line.
You also don't know who's available for that weekend from other things
Fair
going
point.
Off.
Yeah.
Right then, that brings us to the main event of the evening. Kazuchika Okada breaks the trend of late and defends successfully the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, the brand new belt newly minted for his fifth title reign. He defeats Sanada in 38 minutes and 3 seconds in a really, 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 really good match. I would say, though, not as good as the last match they had. That's just me. I think it was a tad long, but that's just, you know, I'm nitpicking here because it was exceptional. But
I'd probably go with that, yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, 38 minutes has become the norm. 40-minute matches has become the main event norm when it used to be 25-minute matches.
Yeah.
And I think we can have too much of a good thing. I'd like a snappy one every once in a while, just like 7 minutes or something like that, just to rebalance things, you know. But yeah, it was outstanding, and it was nothing wrong with this match whatsoever. Just, like I said, a little bit long. Nice to see Sanada coming out in his Sergeant Pepper attire. and like you said,
sporting the new haircut and the new beard, he basically looked like sort of a blonde pirate with the walkout gear included,
or possibly a member of the Swiss Guard.
Yeah,
yeah, it very smart. Barry's mum was proud.
Yeah, well, you've got to, you know, it's your big title shot. You've got to look good, haven't you?
Barry's mum hasn't been proud of that beard for the last 3 months. Anyway,
no.
what do you think of the actual match, though?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with you that it did feel maybe a little bit long. That was obviously the story they wanted to tell. The commentators kind of pushed on commentary that every time Sanada's faced Okada, he's pushed him a little bit longer, you know. So I think that was why it ended up going close to 40 minutes of being their longest match to date. Yeah, it did have an interesting layout in that sense. I felt, it was good, the chain wrestling at the beginning, but it did go probably longer than it needed to, and it felt like they were teasing that the match could go the full hour or something like that. It had that feel early on with the slow kind of pace they were working.
It was glacially slow to start with.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, maybe that's playing into the fact that, you know, Okada is back at the top table now after being away from it for a year and going through all that stuff we've spoken about on previous podcasts, the story of how could he recapture the magic. And there was that element in the match of, has he recaptured it yet? Is he really the old Rainmaker again just yet? You know, he's definitely better than he was when he was going through his midlife crisis, but is he back to being the absolute best he was when he had that historic title reign? And I think that was probably kind of the overarching idea of it going that long and Sanada, you know, coming so close to beating him, because there were moments in it where you fully believed that Sanada was going to pull it off. Like you touched on, the fact that no one seems to be able to defend a belt at the moment, they played off that, you know. So there was that feeling that maybe this is Sanada's time. Sanada's never beaten him in singles, which they kept building up. So it made you think, surely this is the moment he's going to do it. The skull end, when he applied that for absolutely ages, and it looked like Okada was gonna pass out, you fully felt like that was gonna be the moment, and then again Sanada let go of it to go for the moonsault, which he's done in pretty much every Okada match, and is what ultimately ends up costing him the wins. In the storyline, it definitely cost him the win here, and you've got to believe that when Sanada finally does beat him, they will play off that, and he will keep him in the blend and realize that that is how he can beat him. I think there were lots of great sort of elements within the story like that, and you know, they've got great chemistry. We know that they're both so talented, and hopefully this does kind of signal that Sanada's going to be more in the main event scene going forward, because he's kind of flip-flopped in recent years. The fact that, you know, he pushed the champ so close that he's, as we say, got his brand new haircut and trimmed up the beard, which means he looks a little bit more main event worthy.
More presentable.
Yes, exactly, yeah. As long as the match was, the ending, the closing stretch was typically fantastic of an Okada title defense. Sanada even hit the Rainmaker at one point, which got a huge reaction. That was great. And yeah, took, you know, the big spinning tombstone and the Rainmaker to end it. So Okada had to dig deep to get the win. I think, yeah, definitely plays into this thing that, you know, he's the champ again, but he's not quite what he was again yet. And he's still having to dig down and really, really try more than he probably did when he was at his absolute best, which will be an interesting one to keep an eye on going into his next title defense at Dominion.
Yes, 2-1 Chris Jericho, who we thought was gone and done with New Japan Pro Wrestling, but apparently not. Yep, Dominion, Chris Jericho versus Okada, which no doubt will be a street fight, so that Chris can do the things he needs to get done. But I think it'll be a very interesting match.
I was going to ask how you think that main event will go against the Painmaker, Chris Jericho, of course, as he's now calling himself.
I could have done without that, to be honest. I thought it'd be better than that. But apparently isn't.
I enjoyed that, I have to say. but yeah, I think obviously it's a massive main event for Dominion in terms of name and in terms of getting eyes on it. And they had to have a big main event, you know, after what they did last year. It was going to be tough for them to kind of compete with that big Okada Omega match that was the culmination of this massive story. So I think that's why they've gone for the Jericho thing, and I think it's a good idea. I'm just interested to see how they work that main event, like you touched on, because Okada, people expect a certain standard from an Okada main event match now. You know, that he isn't going to want to slow down in a Dominion main event, like we say, especially after what he did last year with Omega and the year before as well. You know, he's set such a standard. It'll be interesting to see what they do there, and it'll be interesting to see if he holds on to the belt as well.
It's also going to be problematic if Chris can't go longer than 20, you know.
Yes, so, but maybe that plays into what you've said of they need to start doing shorter main events.
Yes, they do.
So, and the thing that does help that as well is they've got Naito and Ibushi in the co-main spot, who are obviously going to go a certain length of time and have an absolute barn burner back and forth classic, you would imagine, which maybe takes the pressure off Okada and Jericho in that sense to do the same. But knowing what we know of Okada and how high he sets his standards, that probably won't be much of a help to him. You know, he'll want to steal the show, obviously.
Indeed. Right then. Best of Super Juniors, we'll do a quick preview of that before we go. So Block A this year has got Dragon Lee. Well, should we go name by name? Dragon Lee, what's your thoughts?
I think now, from what you've said, he is probably actually my favourite to win it, and Hiromu to come back and challenge him and then do set up the Dominion match that way. I think that looks actually very likely now, which probably means it won't happen because we're expecting it to happen.
I'll not bother reading out the rest of that.
No, knowing what New Japan are like, now that we're expecting that to be the case, they'll probably go in a completely different direction. But yeah, it's interesting, like you say, that he's going in as the champ. The champ's not done it before. Regardless, he's going to have a bunch of mad matches, as we know, and he's going to be one of the top performers throughout the Super Juniors. So, yeah, we know he's going to put in a bunch of great matches, regardless of whether he gets to the final or not.
Jonathan Gresham?
I haven't seen a huge amount of his, I have to admit.
I think he's going to get 8 or 10 points. I think he's going to do quite well.
That would make sense, actually, for, you know, is this his first Super Juniors? It must be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you debut in in a tournament like this, that tends to be the case, doesn't it? They pick up about 8 or 10 points, probably get a couple, you know. I mean, it's a stacked block, they both are, so I'm not sure who he's going to be pinning, but I'm sure there'll be one or two
important names that he gets wins over.
Yeah, who he gets a shock win over. Yeah, exactly.
My skill.
Very excited to see him back in Japan. Yeah, he's been missed, I feel. So I think, yeah, it'd be really fun to see him back in there. And again, like, got to be one of the favourites because of what he's done in New Japan before. So I think he'll be top end of the point scale, you would imagine.
Go watch that match with Mark Nicolas from Crockett Cup, because it's a barnstormer and is a bit of a slow burn for match of the year, actually. It was really, really good. And
yeah.
Matty's on full form. Yeah. Shingo Takagi.
Yes, as we said, until he got me with the Dragon Lee thing, he was going in as probably my favourite, whereas now I think probably Dragon Lee's going to win Block A. I can't remember the order of the matches, so who does Dragon Lee face on the last night?
I don't
know.
I haven't got that list.
Would be interesting. Yeah, while we're talking, I'll try and look that up, because I think if it's him and Dragon Lee on the last night, that might be very, very interesting indeed. But yeah, I think Shingo, has he even lost in New Japan?
Never
yet,
been pinned
since
in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so this could be a first.
So yeah, I think you would anticipate that he's going to have an unbelievable run, even if he doesn't get to the finals. If it comes down to him needing to win on the last night to go to the final, you could see that hit being when he takes his first pinfall loss.
Yeah.
But similarly, you could see his first pinfall loss coming in the final as well. You know, that would make sense too.
Mm-hmm. Someone he's had a long time rivalry with, Sho, the battle over the powerhouse of who's the powerhouse of the New Japan Junior Heavyweight Division.
Yeah, Sho, like you say, they're also setting him up for a big run. Like, it really is stacked Block A, isn't it? Like, really stacked it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that he again would have been someone you'd be expecting to get a lot of points, but looking at everyone else who's in it, probably he's going to drop a couple of shock. You know, there'll be a couple of shock matches he loses, I imagine, to just edge him down the rankings a little bit.
Taiji Ishimori, former champion.
Yeah, obviously going to have a great run through it. You know, he was
you'd think
finalist last year, so.
Former FMW independent junior heavyweight champion and former WWE light heavyweight champion, former WWE cruiserweight champion, Takumi Chinoku. Probably not going to be his best run, I once thought.
No, having spoken about all the other guys in the block, I don't think it's looking too good for poor Taka, to be honest.
Having said that, 2 years ago he was a semi-finalist, so you don't know.
I'm sure there'll be a couple of shocks along the way. There always is, but yeah, it's hard to see. You know, with the guys we spoke about, you've got Dragon Lee, you've got Skrull, Shingo, Sho, Ishimori.
Everyone's
who are probably
on a roll. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, the five favourites almost, plus you've got Kanemaru as well. There's a lot going on in this.
Well,
block.
Yeah, speaking of people, former IWGP junior heavyweight champion, Tiger Mask, four.
Yes.
I'm going to pronounce it now, Tiger Mask.
He's going to win too many, to be honest.
No, he'll do all right. He'll beat up some young boys in frustration at some point, but yeah, be all right. He'll be all right. On mixed tag matches, he's going to be on the, we're not saying mixed tag matches, like intergender tag matches, like where they do the tag matches on the off nights, he's going to beat some people up and he'll be okay. Next is going to be Titan. He might do all right, actually. I would think he's less likely just because Dragon Lee's in this group and, you know, sounds very, like, parochial, but I think they can only afford one luchador to do well, to be honest.
Yes, yeah. I think, he'll probably have a run of great matches but not win a huge amount. It'll be, he'll have to get himself over in, like, losses kind of thing because there's just too many guys they've got to get on a certain number of points, I think.
Yoshinobu Kanemura will probably get a couple of points, I would say.
Yeah, I think he'll be about mid-level, to be honest. Right, I've got the running order of matches. So last night of Block A, Dragon Lee is against Marty Skrull, and Shingo is against Ishimori.
Ooh.
So there you go. They are clearly being set up to be the four guys, and I think it will come down to those four having very similar points totals on the last night. And it's going to be how it falls between those two matches of who goes to the final.
I'm pretty sure they do best of Super Juniors with semi-finals and finals. They have done in the past.
No, it's straight up. It's straight up
this year. Okay, then.
G1 style, yeah. The most points from each block goes through.
Right.
So,
we'll have to
see. Yeah, I think it'll come down to them being, you know, all being on very similar numbers and having to win, and how, you know, how it falls in. It'll probably come down to head to head between two guys, probably Dragon Lee and Shingo, I would think, will come down to head to head record or something like that.
Okay, then Bandido, first of all, that was his first one in Block B. He should do all right, I think.
Yeah, again, it's like you touched on with the Luchador thing, how many
I know. Also, he's not a CMLL guy; he's a Ring of Honor guy. So,
that makes a difference to their thinking on that front. Okay,
I should have rephrased that. I don't think they can have too many CMLL guys get pushed too far, whereas they can spread it out between Ring of Honor guys, CMLL guys, and Ref Pro guys.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be interesting then. I wouldn't expect him to be right at the top end, I have to say, but yeah, he'll have a good run for sure.
Right, Bushi. I'm not sure. Bushi's been lost. He's always really good, and he's a brilliant, brilliant wrestler, but he never gets that far because he's not Oromu, and that's his big problem, is he's not Oromu.
And the problem is, we felt like with Oromu being away with the injury, that they would push Bushi a little bit more, which briefly seemed to happen, but then he sort of went back to being in the junior tags alongside Shingo, and then he has got a little bit lost, which is a shame because he's great, like he's fantastic. And I still think he will, because he's one of the bigger names in this block, I still think he will have he will accumulate a lot of points, but I don't think he'll be in contention on the last day to go to the final.
Ren and Narita replacing Flip Gordon, who couldn't get a visa in time for the tournament.
I did not know that. I missed that. Really? Is that why he's not there?
Ring of Honor's travel department, strike again.
Ring of Honor, I didn't get a chance to come on, obviously, talk about the Supercard show, but
you can't come on here and rant about things that happened 2 months ago.
They managed to take... Sorry, go on.
You can't come in here and rant about things that happened 2 months ago. Of course you can. Go for it.
You know what I'm referring to, that pretty much all the New Japan stuff on that card was brilliant. The Ring of Honor stuff on that card... was not for the most part... And they made some awful booking decisions. I'm sure you've ranted yourself hoarse about some of them, though.
Me and Marcus had
doesn't
a right
surprise
good time with that.
Me. Sorry, go on.
Me and Marcus had a right good time with that.
I thought you might have done. Doesn't surprise me that behind the scenes they're not as great at getting visas as well as not making clever decisions, shall we say, in terms of the booking.
Do have a soft spot for that three-way ladder match in the main event, and Matt Taven generally, but it wasn't good.
Yes, no, the ladder match was all right. You know the bit I'm referring to.
Just saying.
You know the run-in that I am referring to.
The two run-ins that you were referring to, you're talking about Allure with your Velvet Sky and your Angelina Love there. What are they doing in Ring of Honor? The least Ring of Honor people you could possibly book, except for Enzo and Cass, because that'd be really... Oh, shit. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, in the women's division one was frustrating, but by God, it paled in comparison to the Enzo and Cass decision, didn't it?
That, Well, if this is the worst mistake they make on
I'd that. Almost forgotten about, you know, the other one, because the Enzo and Cass thing was so bad and so misjudged that, yeah.
Oh, well.
But anyway, yes, the point of that was, it doesn't surprise me that behind the scenes they're just as bad at getting visas for wrestlers as they are at making those kind of decisions. So, yes, bringing it back to Brenda Ritter, I suppose.
Ray's not going to win anything, let's be honest. Let's be blunt.
No, but big moment for him, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, as a young guy to come in, and we saw that with Finlay when he came in last minute as a young guy and really took his chance, you know, took his opportunity, didn't win a lot, but really made a statement. So I imagine that's what Narita is thinking as well. This is, if I, you know, make a good run of this, yeah, he's not going to, like you say, he might win a match if he's lucky. But he's very much going to be the fall guy. But for him, it's, you know, showing off what he can do in this environment. So it's, yeah, it's a big, big shot for him now.
El Fantasmo.
Oh, looking forward to this. Yeah, looking forward to him being in the Super Juniors and working with some of these guys. And they've, like we spoke about earlier, they've set him up to be a big star in this tournament. So he's obviously going to have a hell of a run. I don't know, honestly. Is he gonna go all the way to the finals? Is that what they're thinking? You know, they've done it before with you guys.
Yeah, did it with Taiji Ishimori before last year. Bullet Club guy came in fresh and got to the final. So
Osprey as well, his first year, didn't he get to the final?
He won it first year. So as he
debut. Of course he did. Yeah. So there you go. That very much sets. They've set a standard for that. So it wouldn't surprise me if El Fantasmo was going all the way to the finals. If he doesn't, I think he will be very close. And yeah,
we're getting
Sorry,
I was going to say we are getting hard pressed on time because it is my dad's 80th birthday today, and I have to go to his house. So we're going to skim read through the last few. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Dookie, who replaces Del Desperado, who got his jaw broken in a match with Jung Kasai at Tacomania the other week. So Despy's out. Dookie, who's Tai Chi's hand-picked junior heavyweight that he trained himself, apparently.
Is that a good sign for him?
I have no idea. Guy who sleptwalked through the junior heavyweight division trained somebody. Anyway, Robbie Eagles will do okay. Rocky Romero, good nostalgia shot. First time back in 2 years. I think he'll do all right, but he'll probably have a couple of big wins, but I think that'll be about it. Much the same could be said for Raisuki Taguchi.
No, I think Taguchi will... He always does well in the Super Juniors, so sure? I think he'll be... He'll run it close, as he always does. This is one of his two times every year when he really takes it to...
I don't even know why he puts his working boots on. Yeah, I'm thinking, why is he even a junior anymore? He did really well in New Japan Cup. He should be a heavyweight, but that's just me. Anyway, Will Ospreay is the next person after that who should do really well, I would think.
Yeah, he's going to be pushing to be in the finals, obviously, because he won it before. Yeah, where he stands in the division, as we say, we're still a bit unsure, but I'm sure he will be close to the finals, if not in there.
And finally, Yo. He should do okay.
He'll do all right. I'm just looking at the final day matches again. So Taguchi takes on Ospreay on the last day, which does imply that Taguchi's going to have a good run through the tournament, I think. That will be an important match on the last night of B Block. And El Fantasmo is against Dookie, funnily enough. So maybe Dookie is going to have a hell of a run through this tournament after all.
We can hope, can't we? Right then, that pretty much wraps up for today for our coverage of Pro Wrestling Dantaku and our preview of Best of Super Juniors. I would like to thank my guest, Mr. Alex Watt. You welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really cool to be back and cover New Japan again.
And you can find him at AlexWatt187 and on his other podcast, if you were a football fan, Did It Cross the Line, at Did It Cross. I did get that right, didn't I?
Yes, I've been practicing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you see. You can find our show, The Troopany Show, on... Whoa, hang on. You can find... Dad, you lead. You can find our show, The Troopenny Show, on Twitter at Troopenny Show. You can find us on Patreon, The Troopenny Show, and on Facebook, The Troopenny Show. Please use our partners, powerslam.tv, and use the code MULLETWATCH to get a 3 month. You can watch all sorts of See, it's like...
Still loving that.
Chelsea said it was brilliant as well. All the old fans of the show, all the old regulars on the show were like, think it's awesome. The new people, like Ashley and John, are going like, hey.
Yeah, they'll get it soon. Yes, once they've done a few more shows, they'll know about the hairdo chats on this show.
Yes, indeed they will. All right then, and you can see us next week. I think we will be doing some beginner's guide to violence next week, I believe, or beginner's guide to rough guide to violence is on our other podcast on telling stories, but you'll certainly be hearing about some FMWs fairly soon, because we've just recorded a podcast with John, and possibly some Wing, because that's what we're recording next week. So anyway, we will be back soon. Take care, have a good week, and enjoy the rest of the week. Oh, by the way, Telling Stories is on Tuesday, and on Wednesday is the Wrestling Rewind. Didn't mention this last week, I should do. Mike Freeland is an awesome, awesome man, and I would like to thank him very, very much for the work he's put in developing this channel with us and giving us 7,000 listeners a month, which for this little podcast is not bad at all, is it really? Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind is soon to be no more. It will become The Rewind with Dara O'Connor, so we hope you enjoyed that. And this week, Dara is going back into his archive and looking back at the invasion angle in WWE, with him and his friends. So we hope you enjoy it. Take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye! We'll be right back.